All right, so 2 Peter 1:17 says, "For he," meaning Jesus, "received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to him from the excellent glory, saying, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased.' And we heard this voice, which came from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed." Now, just real quick to explain what he's saying here. He's talking about when they were on the mount, we call it like the Mount of Transfiguration. I don't even actually know what mountain it was, but they were on the mountain, and Peter, obviously speaking here, he was with Jesus, and he saw Jesus transfigured. He saw his face start shining, and his clothes became as white as, it says, whiter than any launderer could make them, and he saw this. But what he said was, and also he mentions here that God said of Jesus, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." So he witnessed this, but then he says here in verse 19, it says, "And so we have the prophetic word confirmed." Now, when he says the prophetic word, he's talking about all the prophecies that had come of Jesus beforehand in the Old Testament, and which essentially, Old Testament, just so you know, is complete scripture by itself. I don't believe that the New Testament adds anything to the Old Testament at all. I believe that the apostles and prophets that God set forth in the New Testament were just people set forth to reveal the Old Testament. So when he says the prophetic word, he's talking about Old Testament, which, like I said, I believe is perfect scripture by itself. And it's just in hidden form. And Paul says here, we have the prophetic word confirmed. The prophetic word, he's speaking about Old Testament scripture. And he says that they had already heard about Jesus before. And when he saw Jesus with his eyes in this, like, this manifestation, it was just a confirmation of the prophetic word he had already heard. Okay? So that's kind of where he's coming from. So he says, "So we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts." Okay, so the prophetic word here, like I said, he's talking about scripture. So let's just say scripture here. He's talking about scripture, and he says, the prophetic word or scripture, you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place. This is really an important point. I want to also just kind of apologize, maybe not apologize, maybe it's too strong a word, but there have definitely been a little bit of confusion just because, I'll just say just from my end, because the fact that when you're growing in something and you're simultaneously teaching, sometimes you're just sharing what you know thus far. And there has been some things, if you're listening to old messages, for instance, on the archive, you're going to hear certain things that we say about the Bible that, like, are kind of right, but the terminology, I'll say that, the terminology is not quite right when we talk about the Bible. So I'm not going to explain all those things, but if you're listening to older messages, up until now, it's kind of like I felt like the Lord's been teaching me different things about the Bible, and we've mentioned these things on and off, but I did just want to kind of confirm this in our hearts because I think this is an important thing to know about the Bible, which is something that we haven't, it's been a little shaky for me, at least, up until, like, more recently. The Bible, it says here, we do well to heed. So let's just stop there. The Bible is something that every believer, if you're interested in growing in the knowledge of Jesus, the Bible is something you do well to take heed to. So as far as reading Scripture goes, you do well to heed what Scripture says. You do well to read Scripture. You do well to... it says to heed it as a light that shines in a dark place. So it literally says that the Bible is a source of light. It's a source of truth for you because of the dark world that you live in. You live in a world where the truth is absent in the world. And so it says that that Scripture is like a light to you. Scripture is a help to you. It says until, this is important, until the morning star rises in your hearts. Actually, let me read this real quick for you. Sorry, my phone locked. But it says, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. That's talking about when you receive full knowledge of Jesus. But he says, for now, until you have full knowledge of Jesus in your mind, you need Scripture. That's what he's saying here, essentially. Until you have full knowledge of Jesus, because there's not going to be any Bibles in the new earth, obviously. We know that. And why won't there be any Bibles in the new earth? Because all the truth that you already have on the inside of you will have risen in your heart, and the Bible calls that the morning. When Jesus comes back, it's called the morning. when he returns. The reason why it's called the morning is because it's a time of revelation. If there's anything, not that you have to wait till Jesus comes back to know him in full. You can know, again, we have the Spirit inside of us that we might, it says that to lead us into all truth. So that's, there's no limit on what you can know even right now. But when Jesus comes back, though, there's gonna be a revelation. For anyone that doesn't know him in full at that point in time, Jesus is going to come back, and you can fully submit your mind to him. He's going to take your mind, and he's going to give you full revelation. Out of all that you have on the inside of you, he's going to reveal himself perfectly. The Bible says we'll see him as he is. Everybody, though, will. Every Christian, I should say, will see Christ as he is when he returns. That's what he's referring to. He says, when the day dawns and the morning star rises in your heart. You have the morning star. Morning star is a name for Jesus as pertaining to our revelation, right? Morning star, or like the sun, you know, he'll be referred to as, or the brightness of God's glory. He's revelation to us, okay? And in the day to come, every Christian is going to know Jesus in full. And therefore, you won't need a Bible anymore. And that's literally what he's saying. Notice that he says, you do well to take heed to Scripture only for a certain period of time. You only do well to read Scripture or take heed to the prophets and the apostles and what they wrote for as long as you don't know in full. This is very, very important. For as long as you are still learning, you do well to take heed to what the holy man of God wrote in Scripture. Now, I believe, obviously, and not just a personal belief, but this is substantiated in Scripture itself. Scripture is inspired by God. We believe that. We don't believe that a translation is inspired by God. Right, even the best of translations in the English, you are not reading, for all intents and purposes, the Bible. You are reading a translation, an English translation of the Bible, of Scripture. You're not really reading Scripture. So that's why you can never read an English translation and just think like it's bad to question what it says. It's okay. It's actually great to question what it says. And that's why, you know, if you want to look further into it, it's not necessary. It's good, for one, to read different translations. It's also good to, if you have like you're in your Bible app or something, if you have some kind of resource where you can check the Hebrew and Greek, that's all cool too, because we believe that original Scripture was inspired by God, correct? So it's what the apostles and prophets wrote at that time that's actually inspired by God. It's not what you're reading necessarily right now. But that aside, because Scripture, even in its flawed form right now in which we have it, and not many people will say that, but you have a flawed Bible. Like, you don't have a perfect Bible right now. But even despite all that, obviously it's the Holy Spirit that teaches us anyway, but despite all of that, the Bible says, in here in 2 Peter, he says that you do well to take heed to Scripture. These are things that our brothers, and I would say in sisters, but I don't know that there's any book that's written by a woman necessarily, as politically incorrect as that is, it just happened that way. There's not as much diversity as probably people would like in Scripture, I guess, but it was written by holy men of God, and God happened just to use men to write the Bible, not that he had to, but this happened, right, for your benefit and for your teaching and for your instruction. But why, though? I'm not going to get into, like, all the real deep stuff right now, but I think this would serve as a pretty good intro. Why is it that we do well to heed Scripture when we have the Holy Spirit in all that truth and more on the inside of us? You know, if you've come here for any length of time, you understand, right, the things with the temple that we've talked about before, and the lamp in the temple, and the light is in the temple, and the, you know, the temple receives light from on the inside of it. And there's a lot of stuff I can go into it, that about. But it's important to understand, though, not 2 Peter, 1 John says, we have this anointing on the inside of us that teaches us all things. So if you have the Holy Spirit on the inside of you that teaches you everything, why do you even need the Bible? Which is a good question, which I haven't always been able to kind of answer. It says, until the morning star rises in your hearts, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your heart. What he's talking about is, until you have full knowledge, you still need help from, this is why we assemble together. This is why we don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Not because you have a necessity from the Holy Spirit on the inside, like, in other words, like you lack something on the inside of you that would make going to church a necessity. The Bible does say, and I'm not going to get into this verse right now, the Bible does say you have no need that any man teach you. So it doesn't make any sense, right? What is Scripture? Those are, I'm not going to get into all the definition of this right now, because I'll just kind of do the basics right now. But Scripture came through other men. Scripture is not you hearing directly from God. Scripture is God speaking to Paul, for instance, and then Paul speaking to you by the Holy Spirit. So it's an indirect thing, right? Scripture is you hearing from God secondhand, just like coming to church. But why do you do well to not forsake the assembling of yourselves? There's been people that have come here before, and I have prophesied. You know, I'm not for correcting somebody, an individual, from the pulpit. Like, I'm not talking about that. I mean, unless that person did something in front of everybody else, and then you can publicly correct that person, just so you know that that's an okay thing. The times where you correct someone in private is when they did something more privately. When someone does something in front of everybody else, then sometimes it's necessary to correct them in front of everybody else so that everybody understands. But this is not what I was doing. I wasn't just, like, correcting this person in front of everybody. But this person I knew was, like, being tempted to leave this church, which obviously they have at this point. And in honest to God, total love, I wasn't, and I say this like I made this up. It wasn't even me. The Lord was prophesying this at the time. And in total love, the Lord was warning this person and just telling them, talking about, and all of a sudden, I noticed I started teaching on the importance of coming to church. It was like being taught all the time. I would teach, you know, during our giving time, and that was coming out there. I was teaching, you know, I would come and share something after service, and it kept coming out, the importance of coming to church. And not that it was just for that person, but it certainly suited that person at the time. And I remember even prophesying one time, and the Lord did like that hand washing. I don't know if any of you remember this at the time. He did like a hand washing movement through me and basically said, listen, I've warned you, I'm washing my hands of this. In other words, like, I'm not responsible for if you leave, I'm warning you, don't leave this church. And did this all, and they left the church anyway. But, I mean, the Lord did all this leading right up to these people leaving this church. And why is it so important to come to church? It's not about, like, you know, when we talk about even your kids. I mean, you know, we have, you know, some people that have kids. You know, you guys are a little older right now. But still, it's still, I think, is good to mention. Why is it that we even talk about, you know what, if you have kids, you don't give them the option to come to church. It's like you're coming to church. Why is it that we, like, prioritize that so much? That why do we advise people that way? Like, man, if you have kids, bring them to church. You know why? Because you at least have to give them that opportunity to hear the word of God. They may not take that opportunity. They may not want to seek God for themselves. You cannot control that as a parent. As a mom or dad, you can't control whether your child ends up, you know, in their adult life seeking God. But you can at least give them those opportunities. Because if you don't give them those opportunities, that one's on you, right? And God, we're still forgiven and all that still applies. But it's still on you, though, right? If you don't give them that opportunity, that one's on you. Not whether they accept or reject the Lord. That one's not on you. But I'm saying, but the fact that we didn't give them that opportunity, that's something that we should be doing, though. And why is it so important to come to church? And here, why is he telling us Scripture? Heed Scripture. Read Scripture. Pay attention to this. It's not because you don't have the morning star right on the inside of you, but he hasn't dawned in your heart yet. You understand? He hasn't risen in your heart yet to the full extent. And while you're still learning, while you still have, because we're still learning and our minds are still being renewed, and that's still a process, because that is a process, and you still have opportunity to err in your heart at times. And we do at times. I'll even say many times if I'm talking to somebody and I feel like I'm kind of venting, I'll say, you know what? This is probably stupid. Like, I'm going to say this because I feel it right now, but maybe this is just kind of stupid. Maybe this is just me talking. Because sometimes you do that, right? And it's okay to recognize that. And I think it's a great thing that if you think what you're saying at the time is probably not, like, put the best way because your mind is in a certain state, then tell somebody that. But just so you know, I'm saying this, but later on, after I'm thinking correctly, I'll probably, you know, correct some things right now because I'm not quite thinking right. Because we have opportunity right now while we're learning where we can still err in our hearts. And to prevent that, to help, not, again, even what I was saying before, why was I emphasizing so much, like, don't leave this church? Because I don't know. I mean, again, I haven't heard a church, and not that there aren't any necessarily, but I haven't heard a church that I could just sit in at length and just listen to messages from them at length. I just haven't heard anybody right now where I can listen to them at length. I can listen to this piece and this piece from a couple teachers, but I mean, it's pieces, it's tiny fragments. So when I see somebody leaving the church, it's like, man, you're hearing something good here. God's helping you with this church, with this ministry. God helps us with Scripture. Granted, These are not your primary way of hearing from God. It's a secondary way of hearing from God. This is not how, even right now, this is not how God speaks to you directly. God doesn't speak to you directly through me, and because I would never take that on myself to say that I'm the Spirit of God to you, neither should we attribute this to Paul or Samuel or Moses or any of the writers of Scripture either. Just because it's Scripture does not mean that it wasn't written through another man. You understand that, right? It's Scripture, inspired by God. Great. When you're here, you're going to hear a lot of things that are also inspired by God. I'm not saying they're Scripture. I'm just saying you're going to hear things that are from God and other things, obviously, that are not because we're growing. While Scripture is inspired by God, it's still through another man. It's not how you hear from God directly. Despite everything that you've probably heard at church before, Scripture is not the primary way that God speaks to the born-again believer. I'm not going to go into all those verses right now. That's just going to be a teaser. These verses. But you have no need that any man should teach you. And if Paul is a man, in other words, speaking about his flesh, when he wrote this, he was in the flesh. I mean, it was God performing through a man, performing through flesh. And if that is the case, he's saying it's not that you have a necessity for the Bible according to the Spirit of God on the inside of you. Because once that Spirit is fully manifest in your mind, he just said, you won't need Scripture anymore. You only do well to take heed to Scripture until, only until, the morning star rises in your heart, that day dawns in your heart, and you see Christ fully. Only up until that point in time do you need Scripture. And why do I say you need Scripture? Why do I say you do well to take heed to it? Not because you need it according to the Spirit of God on the inside of you, because you have all this truth here, but your mind is helped by Scripture. Why? Because it hasn't dawned in our hearts fully yet. And while you still have opportunity to err, like this person that I was speaking about before, they still have opportunity to err, especially this person who was very new to a lot of the things that we're teaching. It's like, don't give up on this. Stay with us. Stay with what we're preaching. You can be offended by a lot of things about me and Pastor Jose and Miss Kim and, oh, I don't like the way they do this and I don't like the way they do that. And just so you know, as the Reformed team here, if you ever have a question about why maybe our motives in doing certain things, it might do well sometimes if you in your mind disagree with it. I'm not talking about rebuking somebody or rebuking your leaders. I'm just saying though, like, you know, I wouldn't go there. But you'd have to have a pretty God-given thing to pull, a Samuel or a Nathan the prophet and go to your leader and rebuke them. So there's probably time for that. But I'm just saying sometimes it does well for us to even just ask a question and just say, hey, you know, what's your mentality about this? I just want to, like, find out more about it. Because you might find that something that you disagree with, the way that we do something, you might find the inner workings of it, and you're like, oh, that's why they do it. Okay, like, that makes sense scripturally. There's usually a pretty good reason for a lot of the things that maybe we even disagree with. But even despite all that, you could be offended by a lot of things. But I was advising them, and I would advise anybody. Don't prioritize that thing, that stupid thing that maybe you were offended about, to overwhelm your heart and cause you to leave this assembly here. Because this is good for you. This is something that is for your aid. It helps you not err in your heart. And how much more we also have Scripture that I'm not going to say perfect in its form right now, but in its initial form, Jesus says Scripture cannot be broken in John 10. Scripture was perfect when it was written, and it's good stuff that the Lord wrote for our instruction. But not for our instruction in the sense that that's the direct way you hear from God, any more than right here, and I'm closing right here, but any more than church is the direct way you hear from God. Church is also for your instruction, just so you know. The Bible says that in Ephesians chapter 4, church is also to teach you until we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God to a perfect man. So this is also for your knowledge, just like Scripture is for your knowledge. But both Scripture is inspired by God fully. What we say can have some flaws. Not to mention translations have flaws also. But so it's different in that sense. But here's where church and Scripture is exactly the same. It's not the direct way you hear from God for yourself. I'll repeat that. It's not the direct way you hear from God for yourself. But both of these things are, we do well to heed both of these things. That is until you know in full. That's what church is for. It's not because you can't hear from God for yourself. Because, well, can't I hear from God at home? Sure. But unless you know Christ in full, you still have opportunity to err in your heart. Every single person has opportunity to err in your heart if you don't know the Lord in full. And that's why we have Scripture. Scripture is something that we do well to take heed to. So I'm not saying that. You do well to take heed to it just the same way you do well to come to church. These are helps for you, for your instruction, for your teaching. Despite the fact that it's not the direct way you hear from God. That happens from the Holy Spirit to your inner man. Ephesians chapter 3. He said, I pray that you be empowered by the Spirit in your inner man. By the Spirit in your inner man. Just like the temple. By the lamps to the oracle. By the lamps to the place of conversation. That's how it works. Excuse me. That is how it works, though. By the Spirit to your inner man. But you do have to recognize, though, that because, and this verse says it, it's only because you're still growing that the Bible says you do well to take heed to Scripture, just so you know. So I hope that clarifies a lot of things that, confusion that maybe even I caused with some things that, again, I can't really apologize for something when you're growing in knowledge. So it's where I was at. And so you use certain terminology sometimes a little bit differently regarding the Bible. But that is a good understanding on what the Bible is for. That is what the Bible is for, and that is, it's a good thing for you to be reading Scripture. It's a good thing for you to be growing in that. If you don't know how often to read Scripture, if you're like, I don't know, how often should I read it? I would just tell you to read it every day then. Just read it every day. It doesn't have to be a certain time limit, but if you don't know also how long to read, then set a minimum time and say, you know, I'm going to read for a half an hour in the morning, or I'm going to read whatever it is. But just set aside that time, though, to get into Scripture, because, again, not because you don't have the truth on the inside of you, but because, just like church, you do well to take heed to something that is, in fact, the Word of God, despite the fact it's the Word of God external to you. And it is the Word of God, though, through Paul. It's the Word of God through the apostles and prophets, and it's like a light that to help you that's shining in a dark place.
ReformInUs.com